choose to have a teachable spirit. Choose to be in a learning posture. That's a decision you can make every single day, one I make every morning. Will I be the most teachable person in the room, in every situation, in every relationship, no matter what? You can always learn something from anybody. Sometimes it's what not to do, but that can be valuable. So choose that. That's the first thing. If you make that decision, you pre-decide to be teachable in any circumstance, in any situation, that will help you more as a leader than any other decision you could make.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities. Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Introducing William Attaway, a leadership expert with over 25 years of experience in coaching, consulting, and leading organizations in both the for-profit and nonprofit sectors. William's journey into leadership began when a high school teacher saw potential in him and invited him to attend his first leadership conference, which inspired him to become a student and practitioner of leadership. As a believer in servant leadership, William is committed to lifting others and helping them reach their full potential. He is also the host of the Catalytic Leadership podcast, where he shares his experiences and learnings with listeners who are eager to grow and learn. Join us as we explore the fascinating world of leadership with William Attaway.
Dr. William, how are you doing today? Absolutely, it's an honor to have you.
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Learn about you and walk through memory lane and rediscover your origin story, because I love these stories. They're the ones that show me what's worked, what's not worked, and how your mind, how the things around you have shaped you. So let's get started. How did you get started, come to the point that you are today?
You know, I would trace it back to when I was in high school. I had a teacher who saw something in me that I did not see in myself. And he invited me to attend what turned out to be my very first leadership conference. I went, I listened, and I was captivated by the power of a leader, how great leaders could accomplish great things. And I was hooked. I've been a student of leadership now for over three decades and a practitioner for over 25 years myself.
And I think my first experience with leadership was when I started listening to or paying attention to Tony Robbins. He was just amazing. So in high school, your teacher was like, hey, you need to come visit this event. It's going to change your perspective. And change your perspective, it did. I love that. So you've been in the leadership position for over 25 years, as you mentioned, and been a fan of it. How would you say it has changed over the past three decades?
No, I think early on, I saw leadership like the way a lot of people do, which is this is the person who sits in the office and you know, sends dictates or memos or emails or whatever and tells everybody else what to do. And because that was my experience watching leaders organizationally, first in the business world, and then in the nonprofit, in the church world, where I lead now. And as I looked at this, I thought, it doesn't feel like the type of leadership that I had been studying about from great leaders throughout history. And so I began to look and ask questions and push back on some of that. And so I would say that one of the greatest shifts that I've seen over the last few decades is in a positive direction. That is, that a leader is a servant leader, one who serves those that he leads, not just the clients or the customers, but the team that he leads. I think that is a great shift. And it's one that I see in leadership circles, no matter the context, whether it's in business or nonprofit, whether it's in education, or whether it's
even in the military. I've been seeing that a lot as well. The servant leader, you're leading from the back instead of telling people, go do this, go do that. That's been a really mind opener for a lot of us. It's almost like it's been a long time coming.
It has. I think it's a shift for the good. That is real leadership. Real leadership means you have the opportunity to lift other people up, right? You don't see them simply as cogs in the machine of your organization, but you see them as actual real 3D human beings. And you treat them that way.
We're the same as each other. I also noticed that you are a host of the Catalytic Leadership Podcast. How long have you been doing this? And obviously, being in the leadership space yourself for the past 25 years, there needs to be this content. There needs to be this podcast where you share your journey and your stories. How's that experience been?
It's going great. I'm 2 months in, so it's very early in the journey, but I'm loving it. I've been helping to produce podcasts for other people, since 2001. But I had never thought about doing one myself until this year. And said, I think it's time to start sharing, some of the many, many experiences and learnings that I've picked up over the last three decades, both from coaching other clients in their leadership journeys and in my own journey. So this is a way that I can continue to share what I'm learning and what I have learned with people who aren't there yet.
The catalyst, as we all know from chemistry class, is something that accelerates a conversion or a chemical reaction between two elements. And looking at from the perspective of that's the functionality your teacher played with you and introducing you to something around leadership, I'm trying to grasp at before that, what inspired him to say, hey, William needs to go see this class?
That's a great question. I think great leaders are constantly looking and listening. They're watching. Their radars are attuned as they're looking around for people around them that have potential that is yet unrealized. And one of the great privileges, I think, of any leader
is to take somebody whose potential is unrealized and help them to realize it. But if you were to go even deeper into there, what would you say?
I would say that one of the great privileges of a leader is not just to get things done, but it's to get things done through and with other people. That means I've got to get to know them. I've got to be listening more than I'm talking. I've got to get to know what makes their heart beat fast. I've got to get to know what their dreams and their goals and their core values are. When I get to know those things, then I can help them take their next step toward whatever it is that their life is aiming toward. Where do they want to go? What is their aspiration? Mm-hmm. How can I help them to get there? Now, at the age of 15, I wouldn't say I had a long list of aspirations, right? And I certainly wasn't developed in any way as a leader. But this teacher saw something in the conversations that he and I would have, the questions that he would ask, and leadership always starts with great questions. And he would frequently pepper me with questions, wanting to get inside of my head, want to know how I think, what matters to me, what's important to me. And as he got to know me better, my speculation, he's long since passed away, but my speculation is that he saw the leadership potential in me and said, I want to help bring that out. And what better way to help bring out leadership potential than to put somebody in an environment where not only are they going to learn about leadership, but they're going to be surrounded by other leaders and people learning about and passionate about leadership. Did the trick.
Hear that from your way of delivering that information too, because you've been in it, telling the story in a way that resonates to the listener, that resonates through the heart and brings that soul to tears. Like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. Yeah. And it doesn't need to be perfect all the time either, right? Mistakes is where the magic is made.
No story is perfect.
The last episode that I recorded, we had a ton of mistakes. Right. And my guest was like, you need to keep these mistakes in here because we're laughing through them. We're making, you know, making these mistakes. And it was just really something that I needed because stress of the day, taking care of the kids, taking care of everything else. But I still want to come here and have this conversation with my guest, with you, because I find that this is something that helps me grow more than anything else.
That's good. Well, I can tell that you value learning. You value growing. And you're going to be intentional about that, even when the circumstances might not be ideal and the situation might not be exactly what you would design. But you're not going to let the obstacles get in the way. You're not going to let what you can't do stop you from doing what you can.
All right.
That's Dr. William Attaway. Of a growing
something
intentional
that you did
leader.
Or in schooling, what you learned that made you a doctor. I also noticed your lights changed. Did it get cloudy? Okay. Just check.
It did. Yeah. Isn't that funny? So when I went to school, I went as a pharmacy major, and that was my intent. I had worked in a pharmacy in high school, and I thought this is a great way to help people. I can do that in a tangible way. So I pursued field of pharmacy. I took chemistry, then inorganic chemistry. When I got to organic chemistry, I decided this is not really what I want to spend the rest of my life doing. It was not my favorite and not really my sweet spot. So I changed gears. But that's where I learned the power of a catalyst, you know, and that is something that as I studied and learned about catalytic reactions, what I learned was that in my studies of leadership, which at that point were, you know, just a number of years old, every great leader I had ever learned about or learned from would resonate with what a catalyst was. A catalyst is something that you introduce to accelerate or incite significant change or action. You want to make an impact. Well, that's great leaders. That's what they want to do. And that's where I came up with the idea for what I teach now, these principles of catalytic leadership. As I began to pursue it, I worked in the business world for a number of years and then pursued theological studies for my work in the local church. So my master's degree is actually in theological studies and theology. My doctorate, my PhD, is in Old Testament studies with a focus on biblical backgrounds and archaeology. That's pursuing something that I'm very passionate about, which is understanding not just the words, but the original language, the culture, the history, the geography, all of the things that go into understanding, not simply just the words at face value, but what's beneath the words, what's going on in the world around the
words.
Man,
there's so much passion into what you did, man. It's really exciting to get to talk with another passionate human being about what they love to do. A question that a lot of people come to me and ask because they're like, hey, you started a podcast. Why? Right? Does it affect the work that you do? So question is, does my personal life really impact the career and the work that I do?
How could it not?
Yeah.
We have this idea that we inherited from the Greeks, the ancient Greeks, that you can compartmentalize your life. And then what happens over here can be walled off and doesn't affect what happens here or here or here. And that's a cute myth, but it's just that. It's a myth. The fact is, every part of your life affects every other part of your life.
Yeah.
And what you do doesn't just affect you. It affects those around you. The question is, are you going to be intentional in integrating the parts of your life and in using what you have in your hands to influence those around you for the good? Or are you going to choose to live as a victim of your circumstances, of the days, of the hours, and you get to the end of your day or your week or your month or your life, and you say, I don't really know how that happened. I don't really know what happened.
Being very intentional. I love that.
I coach leaders to be intentional.
A really good friend of mine would do intentional hours every day. Like, hey, this isn't an intentional hour. We're coming here with intention to help each other grow. What are you working on? How can you make it better? And then towards the end of it, they would do a little meditation. It was really powerful. And this was around the time when Clubhouse was really getting popular. And everybody spent countless hours hanging out in these rooms, talking about everything. And I looked at my life and spending some time in these intentional rooms. I was like, is this affecting my bottom line? Is this affecting my brain chemistry? Am I becoming a better person? Can I use my time in a more intentional way? So I stepped away. I was like, I need to work on me. I need to work on the person who's going to be there for their children, the person who's going to be there for their family. And then having these conversations, wow, they just helped me.
I love that. I love that.
So much more in being the person that I want to be. Thank you so much for sharing that, because my personal and my work life, they might be separate for who I show up as a person at work, mainly because I'm still too afraid to show my entire personality to that work cloud, because they might have questions about, what am I doing? Why am I doing this and not that?
Yeah. That's good. And you know, there's one of you. And no matter where you are, you bring all of you. The question is, are you bringing it in a transparent, authentic way?
Yeah.
Or are you holding back? Maybe it's fear, right? Maybe it's fear of how it would be perceived or perception. Maybe it's fear of something else. But the mindset that you bring into every context,
as somebody
that you're
who's
in, matters.
Starting to claim the leadership role, like, because it's still not, it's not easy to call yourself a leader, right? Other people might call you a leader, and that sets the perspective of, okay, this is who I am. This is who I need to be. This is who I need to show up to be. How does somebody avoid drifting towards mediocrity? Because if we spread ourselves too thin, doing 10 different things, guess what's happening?
That's exactly it. You know, I don't think anybody ever aims for mediocrity. What I have watched leaders do is they begin, and they begin strong, and they're aiming for excellence, and they want to get there and do what it takes. And when you're first starting in a leadership role, everything is new, and everything is a learning experience. And so you're having to really apply yourself and really be present in the moment, really, really learn. But over time, you learn the role, you learn what you're doing a little bit more, and you get more comfortable. And what that ends up doing, if you're not careful, is you begin to move into neutral. You begin to coast a little bit, because it doesn't take the brain power that it once took to do what you're doing. You're not still in that early learning posture, that beginner's mindset. Now you've been doing this a little while, and so you can coast a little bit. But you never coast to excellence. You never drift to excellence, ever. You only coast or drift to mediocrity. Right. And that's what happens so often. Nobody ever aims for it, at least no leader I've ever met, but they do drift there. How do you avoid that? Well, I give several ways. First is that you predecide, you predetermine. Nobody's going to be more teachable than I am. Every morning, this is a commitment that I'm making.
That.
I'm going to be the most teachable person in every room, virtual or physical, that I'm in. I want to learn. I want to have a teachable spirit no matter what, because I believe you can learn from anybody. Now, sometimes you learn what not to do, but that can be incredibly valuable. I want to walk into every environment, every relationship, every situation with a teachable spirit. That's the first way you avoid that drift, because you're being intentional. Another way is the environment that you choose to be in. You know, what conferences and seminars and workshops are you in? What groups are you in? What people are you choosing to spend time with? The people around you have a far greater impact on your life than you might have ever imagined. If you're around people who are consistently finding fault, who are consistently seeing the glasses as half empty, guess what? Over time, you're going to begin to bend that way. Conversely, if you see you're around people who, hey, we're just not there yet, but we're going to get there. And this everything is glass half full. We're just going to get there. That glass is going to be full before long. You just wait. Guess what? Over time, you're going to begin to bend that way. People around you have an incredible impact on your life, and we can choose the people we spend the most time with.
Am I doing
so intentionally?
So we've used the word drift a few times. And yes, you can drift to leadership or to the top only if you're drifting. I mean, in like car, if you're in a drift car, like drifting. But besides that, you're absolutely right. If you're not working.
That's good.
If you're not working out, you are declining.
Yeah.
No way.
Right. Do you ever drift into excellent health?
So leadership is the same way. You got to work at it. You got to work at yourself. You got to have coaches and cheerleaders in your life. One thing that stood up for me was the point you made about you're going to bend towards the thought process of other people and what they're saying on a daily basis. If they're talking about, we're going to make it, we're going to make it happen, this is part of the journey, our mindset's the same thing. Keep doing the boring work. Keep doing the boring work, because you are going to get to that mountaintop.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. A friend of mine says, consistency is the mother of momentum.
It is so hard.
Consistency is not a fun word. But that's how you get the flywheel
is turning. Momentum.
That's how you get momentum.
It going, and you just got to spin it just a little. You just got to keep giving it a little bit at a time.
That's right.
And keeps moving. Oh my God! Come on now.
Yes.
We're going to church, as my friend Heather Parody would say. I love it, because in 2020, when the pandemic hit, we were all stuck at home. I was so fortunate to be part of this group called Unconventional Leaders. And they said every day at 4 p.m. Eastern time, we're going to have a coffee chat on a Zoom call. We had 10, 15 people talking their heart out about what they're going through as leaders. And it just blew my mind of what was possible. I tell people, if you're not on a mastermind call, if you're not in a group call with other people, other leaders that have been there and can show you the way, you're doing a disservice to yourself.
It's a good word. It's so true. The community that you choose to be a part of has an inordinate impact on your life and the trajectory of your leadership. Truett Cathy, who started Chick-fil-A, was fond of saying, you know how you know when somebody needs encouragement? If they're breathing.
Oh my God.
That's as true for leaders.
Thank you for that. That was
as it is true
beautiful.
For anybody else.
I'm not going to cry. Oh my God, Dr. William, this was so much fun, man. I had
be real.
I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. Absolutely. Let's take a quick break, and then when we get back, Dr.
Attaway
is going to share with us the three hacks to take away in being the catalyst to bring change around you by being the change. We'll figure it out. I will be right back.
I'm Junaid Ahmed, host of Hacks and Hobbies podcast and a digital presence advisor at HumbleZone. This episode is brought to you by Home Studio Mastery. I launched a consultation and course program to help podcasters and course creators to create a space in their homes that'll reduce the friction of creating content and appearing their best when showing up on camera. The pandemic gave us a lot of issues, but this one is here to stay. We're now so much closer to our audience thanks to video becoming more popular and affordable. I help guide folks who want to create Hollywood-worthy studios to not only capture great content, but also build more confidence, more authority, and be more comfortable in front of the camera. If I can do it, you can too. And with my help, you can do it faster. So if you'd like to learn more, visit homestudiomastery.com and how you too can create a home studio that brings out your personality, professionalism, and possibilities. Welcome back, guys. We have been speaking with Dr. William Attaway. He's a host of the Catholic Leadership podcast. He's also written a book on Catholic leadership. He's been teaching this. And we just had an amazing conversation around leadership, around how not to drift towards mediocrity, because it is so important to know what's important. Mm-hmm. When I was going through beekeeping, one of the instructor was telling me, the only way you know that you're a good beekeeper is that you have a huge list of what not to do.
Nice.
So Dr. Attaway, share with us three hacks to take away so that we can be the catalyst. We can be the catalyst to our communities.
You know, the three I would give you, the first one is to choose to have a teachable spirit. Choose to be in a learning posture. That's a decision you can make every single day, one I make every morning. Will I be the most teachable person in the room, in every situation, in every relationship, no matter what? You can always learn something from anybody. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's what not to do, but that can be valuable. So choose that. That's the first thing. If you make that decision, you pre-decide to be teachable in any circumstance, in any situation, that will help you more as a leader than any other decision you can make. That's the first thing. Second thing is to evaluate ruthlessly. Mm. Ruthlessly. My team knows, and they've heard me say this so many times, they can recite it before I say it, which is a good thing. That's a good thing. The three questions we're going to ask about anything we do, any event, anything that we do, we're going to ask what went right, what went wrong, and how do we make it better next time? Mm. Nothing is out of bounds. Nothing is off limits. Everything's got to be on the table. And we have to do it in a kind but ruthless way.
Yeah.
Where we're given the last 10% of honesty. The first 90% of honesty is easy to give. The last 10% is what we hold back because we're afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. We're afraid we're going to step on somebody's toes. But that, you know, that last 10%, that's where the magic is. That's where the transformation is.
Yeah.
And so often we hold that back from one another. So I tell our team, you got to give the last 10%. Mm-hmm. You got to bring all of it because that's how we get better. The third thing I would say is when you're celebrating your wins, this is key. To celebrate your wins, you're just saying what went right, the first part of the evaluation process. You're saying what went right. Let's celebrate that. So often leaders move right past that. They move right past this because they're looking at the next hill that needs to be taken, the next goals to achieve, the next KPIs, and they don't stop and celebrate what went right. Well, that's an important part of the process. If all you do is locate problems and see problems and focus on problems, guess what you're training your mind to do? It's focus on the problems.
Yeah.
I want to stop and celebrate the wins. And so we do that as a team. We do that individually. And I coach leaders and I tell them, you need to celebrate your wins every week. You need to write down what went right this week because there are going to be moments you're going to struggle. There are going to be moments you're going to get frustrated. And you're going to wonder, am I making a difference? Is this worth anything? Should I just quit and go do something else? That's when you go back to your wins journal and you have this listed down.
The wins journal.
You have this listed down and you say, hey, let's look at some objective data. What are some things that have gone right for the last 6 months, year, 2 years, 5 years? And as you're going through that, guess what? You have trained your mind to celebrate those wins week in, week out, week in, week out. And when you go back and review them, you remember. You remember your why. You remember that, yeah, this is effective. Yeah, I am making a difference. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, this is working. And it gives you the confidence to move forward. That's my three hacks.
Man, I love those. And these are not just hacks. These are actual actionable things that anybody can do right now.
Absolutely.
Find your wins. And we're winning every single day. Every single minute we're above ground.
That's right.
We are winning.
That's right.
I love it. This is so powerful. All right. Amazing hacks, amazing story and journey. Love everything about this episode. Let's jump into some of these questions that I like to ask my guests.
Sure.
All right. Number one, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
The one hobby that I wish I had gotten into. I think it would be, I wish I knew how to do basic car repairs, changing your oil, basic maintenance. I wish I had learned how to do that. I have tried over the years a number of times to do some basic stuff, and I'm not good at it. I think had I tried to learn earlier and had a good teacher, that's something I really wish I had gotten into, because that would be incredibly practical and something that I could teach my kids.
Absolutely. And my dad got us started a little earlier. Like, hey, let's change the brakes. Let's change the oil.
Nice.
And this is before, you know, we had YouTube. Now you can literally look anything up on YouTube and do all sorts of work. But that was something that I'm proud that I know I can do it. But now I don't do it as much because our time is so much more valuable and so limitless that we have of it. Next question. What did you want to be when you were a child?
I wanted to be first an attorney and second a pharmacist.
So you've already gone down the second path.
Yeah, the attorney, I've always been a student of history. I've always loved, been drawn really, really strongly toward that. And so the idea of law, reading law, really, really attracted me, because there's so much there that is dependent on a historical basis, you know, precedents and whatnot. And I thought this was a natural fit for me.
Yeah.
And I probably would have gone down that path had I not been drawn toward pharmacy.
And you technically went down the path of history because you learned a lot on his theology. So not an attorney, but you can talk with, there's a word I can't think of it, with certainty about anything because you know the history.
I think history is such a valuable course of study for anybody. Yeah. Because if you, as has been said many times, if you don't learn from history, you're going to repeat the same mistakes.
Amen. Amen. Our next question. What is your favorite movie or TV show?
My favorite movie is an old movie starring Jimmy Stewart called Harvey. Hands down, my favorite movie of all time.
Nice. I'll have to check it out because I haven't heard of that Harvey.
Most people have not.
Harvey Davidson.
It's the story of a man who sees a 6-foot-tall rabbit who talks to him as he goes about his day. And he's the only one who can see Harvey. That is
fun.
Truly a phenomenal movie. Highly recommend it.
I'll have to check it out. Our next question, what movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Ooh. Can I say the same movie again? Because I'd love to be like talking to Harvey, man. That'd be
Let's
great.
Do it. That's the best.
Jimmy Stewart's character in that movie truly embodies so much of what so many of us aspire to, which is to see people as people, not just what they say or what they do.
Yeah.
To live a life that is focused on the good of others. And I love that. I think there's so much that can be learned from that.
Yeah, that's powerful. Next question. Who is your favorite superhero?
Superman. Hands down. Superman. You can see on the wall
I see him on the wall, so I just make sure that we have it in the recording. Last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
If I was a board game, probably Risk. I've loved Risk since I was a kid. And I love the idea of thinking very strategically and thinking about the whole board, not just one section of it.
Yeah. Very, very holistic view of it, for sure.
Very much.
I like that. Well, Dr. William Attaway, this was a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time and energy. We'll be sure to include your links to the show notes, but what is the one place that our superpreneurs can reach you, connect with you?
If they go to catalyticleadership.net, they can find out more about me, the podcast that I host, the book that I just published earlier this year. All that information is there, and we can stay connected on LinkedIn. And that's where I share a lot of the things that I'm learning and reading and working through as a leader these days. Beautiful.
I love it. So again, like I mentioned, we'll make sure that all the links are posted in the show notes. LinkedIn is the go-to platform that you love to hang out on and connect with people. So guys, go check out the book, the podcast, and all the amazing things Dr. William Attaway is working on. All right. Thank you so much for your time. We'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you so much. It's truly been an honor to be here. I've so enjoyed the conversation.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode on Hacks and Hobbies. We absolutely appreciate your contribution. You can find additional notes on hacksandhobbies.com. Please share the podcast with your friends and tell them what you learned about our guest today.